We're going to be talking largely about how can I know if I'm a Christian? How can I be reassured that I am actually a real Christian? Listen to John as he writes these words for us. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, may the Lord help us now understand what this all means. How many of you guys have seen the movie called Catch Me If You Can? Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Hanks, Catch Me If You Can. It's based on a true story of a con artist, Frank Abagnale. A con artist who forged his way through life from a very young age. By the time he was 19 years old, he had swindled millions. And he pretended to be an airline pilot. He pretended to be a doctor. He pretended to be a lawyer and got away with all these schemes that he devised for a very long time. But in reality, he was none of these. He was no pilot. He was no doctor. He was no lawyer. He was a very clever fraud. Almost to the point of self-belief, he was able to convince people of his professions. There's a dark voice in the Christian life, a whisper in our ears that says to us, are you really a Christian or are you a con artist like Frank Abagnale? Doing your best to fool others, even yourself. It's a terrible thought that strikes Christians from time to time. And it questions the very reality of our faith. Maybe some of you have experienced this, and maybe some of you know someone who has, who are troubled by the thought, am I really a Christian? Is my faith even real? The passage that we're looking at this morning helps us answer that kind of question when the doubts come to strike against us. When we start hearing that voice, hey, are you even for real? You know, are you even really a Christian? This passage helps us with those thoughts of doubt. What this passage does is it gives us three tests, three pieces of evidence to look for by which we can reassure ourselves that we are indeed Christians, that we are the real deal. We are really on this Christian life. And as we begin to look at these, I just want you to fix in your mind something before we get right into it. There is a very, very crucial distinction that I want you to make. When we look at these pieces of evidence this morning, these are not the things that you do to make yourself a Christian. These are things that exist in your Christian life as evidence that you are already a Christian. It is very crucial that we get this distinction right. It's a distinction between cause and consequence, a distinction between root and fruit, a distinction between foundation and superstructure. Because if you hear the sermon this morning, if you hear these three tests that we're going to be talking about and think, man, I can do those things and that will make me a Christian, you've missed this distinction. And you have to make this distinction. These things are evidences that functions as consequences of us being Christians. They are not causes or works that we can do that make us Christians. In this regard, it might be really helpful for you to think about it in terms of visiting a doctor, right? When you're visiting a doctor, they're looking for symptoms by which to diagnose your condition. These tests that we're going to be talking about is a bit like symptoms. They're evident in your life. And by their evidence in your life, you can be safely diagnosed as being a true Christian. So what are these tests? I'll name them and then we'll look at each one a little bit further. The three tests for knowing whether you are really a Christian, a way to reassure yourself when the doubts come, are these. The first is belief or faith. The second is love. The third is obedience. Three evidences of legitimate Christianity. Belief, love, obedience. Let's take a look at each of these. If you're looking for assurance to the question of whether you're really a Christian, the first symptom, the first bit of evidence you want to be looking for is belief or faith. It's interesting that John, when he writes, he hardly ever uses the word faith. He uses words like belief and trust. They are the same thing. They are the same thing. He just uses the word belief. And he says, belief in Jesus as the Christ. We see this in verse 1. He says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. So belief doesn't make you be born of God. It is evidence that you have been born of God, right? Has been, past tense. Everyone who believes has been born of God. So we begin with this first and ordinary step of asking ourselves, do I believe in Jesus? Do I believe Jesus is the Christ? And this is more than acknowledging Jesus as a historical person. We know that many atheist historians gladly affirm this about Jesus, that he was a real person of history. We looked at that last week at our Easter message. But that doesn't make them Christians. You can believe that Jesus lived in history and not be a Christian, right? So the question we're asking this morning is, do I believe Jesus is the Christ? Do I believe he is the Christ? So the first thing John asks is just to think, do you believe the very foundation, the very first article of our faith? Do you believe Jesus is the Christ? To tease that out a little bit, tease this confession out a bit about Jesus being the Christ, we could just ask something more, because the word Christ is loaded, right? It is jam-packed with content about what it means that Jesus is the Christ. But we could perhaps tease it out by just asking something like, do I believe Jesus is the one appointed and sent by God to deal with the misery and sin in this world, including my own, and gather people from every tribe, tongue, and nation to worship and glorify God exclusively through him? Is that who Jesus is to you? Do you believe that about Jesus? It sounds pretty straightforward, right? I mean, this is Christianity 101, do you believe? It's pretty straightforward. But no doubt there are seasons in which we feel our belief or faith in Jesus to be weak, right? Where sometimes we doubt our own ability to sense whether we have faith. And it's possible that much of the Western world's Christians are in such a season even now, where we have weak faith. And that includes me. Okay, I'm not excluded here. I'm a Western Christian. And we sense secular ideals pushing up against Christianity, and we sort of begin to feel, oh man, is this Christian thing really, is this really God's doing, you know? When we feel secularism eroding our churches, and when we look around and we sense there's just a great deal of apathy and indifference towards God, And the fact that our kids bring home notices from their teachers, you know, teachers writing notes that they can't tell their school friends about Jesus because school policy, right? We had one of those this week. We just see and experience such a great deal of things pushing up against Christ, and they chip away at our faith, and we think, you know, what about my small faith? Can I still have confidence that I'm really a Christian when my faith is being chipped away at, you know, when I see so much pushing up against my King? I'm suggesting to you, when we apply this first test, do we believe Jesus is the Christ? John doesn't say you got to have this much belief, quantity X amount of belief that Jesus is the Christ before you can be assured. He doesn't say if you believe in Jesus with big amounts of faith, then you can be assured that you're really a Christian. He just says believe. He just says believe. Do you believe? It reminds us how Jesus, right, handled people with small faith and yet true faith. People who had little faith and yet really did have faith. And Jesus regards small faith as true faith when he speaks of faith the size of a mustard seed, right? Just a mustard seed, just a tiny little bit of faith is, in fact, real faith. It is enough. It is enough. So the quantity of our faith is not what gives us the assurance, right? It's not just when you're really pumped that you can be assured of your Christian life. It is the object of your faith that gives you the assurance. Jesus. It's because you trust him, not yourself. It's your faith in him. And by that faith, you have dealt a blow to the troubling thought that asks, are you really a Christian? Are you really a Christian? If you believe Jesus is the Christ, there is good reason to be assured that you are indeed a Christian. This passage, though, brings us to a second test, right? A second piece of evidence to assure us of the Christian life. And the second test is the test of love. We see this from verse 1 also. Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So love is central again to John's thoughts. And over the past few weeks, we've done maybe two or three sermons now on the topic of love, the characteristic of love amongst believers. And so the theme keeps coming up again and again and again in John's letter. I encourage you, spend the 10 minutes that it might take you to read 1 John slowly. And he just keeps coming back to love. Keeps drumming away at this characteristic because it is such an essential of the Christian life. So essential that it serves as evidence whether you are really a Christian or not. And you might just think, hey, John, you have a hobby horse, John. Talk about something else in the Christian life, John. Stop talking about love all the time. Well, it's not just John's hobby horse. He's just explaining what the Christian life is actually like. We know of other communities in the New Testament who also had this abundant and evident characteristic of love. If you think about Paul's writings, he writes to a church in Ephesus and he says, I've heard of your faith, your belief in the Lord Jesus, and your love toward all the saints. Two things he picks up on, belief and love. And he writes similarly to a church in Colossae and he says, we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. Love, man. That is essential Christianity. to which some of us might just say right now, this is precisely what troubles me. I know that Christians are supposed to love. They are supposed to be marked by love, but I don't always feel love towards other Christians, right? I don't always feel that buzz of loving people. Does that mean I'm no longer a Christian? If I don't feel that buzz, if I don't feel that warm fuzzy inside, I'll just remind you that sometimes our feelings are a little bit unreliable. They're not always that trustworthy. Sometimes we desire things we ought not. And yet our feelings will tell us that if we go without them, we're less than human. Right? We're not being complete. We're not truly expressing ourselves. Our feelings are often unreliable. And this is true of love as well. Sometimes we don't feel all that loving, but it doesn't mean that love has actually left the building. You may actually be quite a loving person, even though you do not feel loving towards other people. All this means is that we just don't trust our feelings as our most accurate guide. We don't walk around life with a compass of feelings going, hey, am I doing this right? Feelings are often unreliable. And so we can still show real love, even if we don't feel that buzz of love. We can still show real love. And we'll take a look at how we do show real love next. But let me just summarize what I'm saying at this point. If you are looking for reassurance as to whether you are a Christian or not, be on the lookout for the characteristic of love in your life. Do you love God? Do you love others? It's a second test of assurance by which we silence those doubts that creep into our minds. Do I love? So, what does this characteristic of love look like, and how can I be loving when I don't feel loving, right? This is what we want to answer next. How do we know if we have this love? The answer might surprise you, because John does not primarily identify love with feelings, but with actions of obedience. This is crucial. Love is not primarily tied to how you feel about love, but what you do. Let's pick this up in verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Isn't it interesting that love here is described as the outworking of obedience to God's commandments? Love is the outworking of obedience? Man, I find that really interesting because almost every cultural voice I hear tells me that love is a feeling. And that's it. If you don't have the feeling, you don't have love. And John tells me, challenge that assumption. Love is not all feeling. Love is action. That's really interesting to me, that love and obedience are not opposites. They are not separate virtues in the Christian life. John's just telling us there is no splitting this off. There's no loving God without obeying him. There's no obeying God without loving him. You can't just put a knife through the middle of that. They are intimately connected matters. So this verse challenges my cultural assumptions about love being a feeling, by saying that the sincerity of my love for God is seen in my obedience to his commands. The sincerity of my love for God is seen in my obedience to his commands. And then also that sincerity of love for God through obedience spills over into love for all God's people, right? You love God through obedience, and that spills over into love for other people. How so? Let me give you an illustration. A man named David Jackman is a fabulous commentator on the New Testament, but he uses this illustration. Thinking of the command not to bear false witness against your neighbor, right? God says, don't bear false witness, and he's just using this as an illustration. And he says this, we show our love for God by keeping this commandment, right? Don't bear false witness, love God, obey that command. Don't bear false witness. In doing so, we also love our neighbor by preserving him or her from lies which would destroy his or her character or reputation. So by obeying that command, loving God that way also loves your neighbor. They are connected. So we see how love for God through obedience flows over into love for each other. All this is to say that love and obedience are not separate issues in the Christian life. Obedience is our expression of love for God, which also turns out to be our expression of love for one another. So obedience is the third test by which you have some reassurance that you are indeed a Christian and that you're not just faking it. Listen, let me close with the following for us. We've been talking about a dark and troubling thought that sometimes comes into the Christian life. Some of you have experienced this, some of you experience this more often than others, and some of you know people who experience this, right? Am I really a Christian? Is my faith even real? And this passage provides us with three tests, three things to look out for in your life by which you can be reassured that you really are a Christian. The text has given us these three. Belief that Jesus is the Christ. Love for God and others. And finally, obedience to God's commands. If these three things are evident in your life, be reassured. Be reassured. Do not listen to the doubting voice that attacks you. Don't listen to that. Be reassured because you have belief. You do love and you do obey. Your faith is real. You belong to Jesus. You are His. Of course, this exposes us to the binary nature of Christianity, right? Christianity is ultimately binary this way. You either are or you're not. You either are a Christian or you're not. So perhaps this morning you've applied these tests to your life. You've asked yourself, do I believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do I love God and others? Do I obey God? And you are aware that these things are not true of you. But you want them to be. You do want to believe. You do want to love and you do want to obey. If that's you, Jesus invites you. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Come, believe in Him. Learn to follow Him from the Scriptures and Christian community.